Okay, well, good morning. It is wonderful to be with you all. I get to see some faces, people traveling, and having surgeries, and it's fun to be back together with some folks. And if you're new this morning, we bless you. Hopefully you'll have an opportunity to engage with what we're doing and see a little bit of who we are and why we do things the way we are. We've been in this series. Oops, I forgot to press that button. The idea that Jesus has called us to cooperate with him as he shapes us into the image of himself. So we've been looking at the basic, simple commands of Christ. Obviously, there's deep theology throughout the scripture that we wrestle with, but there are some pretty simple ways he's called us. This is what it looks like. If you're going to cooperate with me, these are the activities that are going to be important to allow me to shape you, to change you into and become more and more like me. And so today, and so a few weeks ago, we said, well, what are some of the practices that we can actually start doing together that will help us express that as we gather week to week? And so we've looked at a few of those, expressing joy towards one another. So a number of things, we're going to keep doing that for a while through the summer. Think about what are things we can practice and learn together as we share in community. Gathering, loving, serving, being a people together. If there's anything that we would want, as Nathan and I, as elders here, would want you to understand, is this is not a place you come and observe and have something done to you, but this is a place you come and bring your faith, you come and participate, you come and express thanksgiving, joy, worship, you bring your voice, you see yourself as a minister in a variety of ways, and we'll go into it. I'm going to try to build a case why that's significant. But it is different, and if you come from a place where it's mostly stage-centric or whatever altar-centric or whatever, however that might be expressed, this may feel a little odd, but we're really called to be a people, and that's what we're doing. And one expression of that people I just love to remind us, I think everyone on our mailing list got an email, Ginger Jump, David's mom, passed last week, and the funeral will be tomorrow morning at 10:30 up in Wellington. There was an invitation. If you haven't checked your email in a bit, it should be in there. And maybe, I don't know, is that one of the recurring slides, Amy, after when you maybe post a message, could you put that up there just so people can see the dates and addresses and so on if you missed that. But love to support them in that, and we'd also just love to be supporting them long term as they sort out an estate and lots of questions. And in the midst of all that grief, we want to serve them by providing meals, et cetera. So just plenty of opportunities in the coming weeks to come alongside them. So this big idea, what are we looking at here? Is this, there's the command of loving, serving, and gathering. And those are kind of the ideas. Jesus commanded us to be together as a people, but also to have this posture of loving and serving. So in light of that, how do we do that? What are the ways that we express that? We're not going to be able to do all of those today, but we wanted to look at one way when we gathered. So but now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are a potter. We are all the work of your hand. And if you've never considered that, I would just invite you to just take a picture of that. Pray for the Lord, if I decided to cooperate with you, whatever that looks like, is that something I'm willing to let you put your hands on me and squeeze out stuff and reshape it, or am I willing to do that? Because he's a gentleman, and he won't do it without your permission. He won't. We have lots and lots of promises shared during communion of eternal security, but we don't necessarily have a promise of him being near or shaping us unless we cooperate. Those are conditional. We have to say yes. He wants to come in and dine with us and have fellowship with us. We have to open the door. So there's this attitude of cooperation. And just love to invite you to think about that at a macro level. Am I okay with that? So here was kind of the list on the left side of the commands and what of Jesus, what he's called us to, loving, serving, and gathering. And the big idea here comes out is that we are priests, we're a kingdom, we are a people together. There's this image that God creates that what the old covenant priests did in intercession, we don't need anymore, except as a body. We're designed to do that together. We don't need a special person with special powers. We all have access to all the power of God. Now, we don't all access it equally. And we certainly don't have the same gifts, and maybe not the same ministry or effect or intelligence or height or whatever. It's not sameness, but it is, we have an opportunity to cooperate with God in such a way that we live out our priesthood in perfect harmony with his plan. I don't know if you guys recognize this little graphic. A few weeks ago, Ray Vaughn was here, and he talked through what happens when the people of God go to a new place. There's this unavoidable trend, and it goes from the people saying, I own this. I am a follower of Jesus, and it's my job to proclaim his message of salvation wherever I am, whenever. And oftentimes that means, in as the kingdom expands, you go a different place, someplace you're not, and you begin to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people. That might be a neighborhood, or that might be in a foreign country. We have home visit missionaries with us that have been in Jordan for a long time. 30 years in Jordan? No, 30 years on the field, but how long in Jordan?
16
years. So this is what they do every day. Is there in this process of trying to make disciples? And when that starts, the process is we begin to communicate that. The Spirit comes on people. They believe. We start to gather and teach them that those basic 10 commands of Christ, this is what it means to follow Jesus. And you form these little immature and fledgling little house churches. Certainly not all the gifts represented. There's probably no drum sets. I mean, it's just really a simple expression of we are a people following Jesus together. And as that happens, it oftentimes reproduces very quickly because everybody owns it. And as those start to form, and the P on there is the priesthood of believers, more and more people are saying, this is my job, this is my opportunity, this is my call to be ministry. I am a priest. I am a priest in the eyes of God. And as it matures, it gets to that second dotted line, vertical dotted line, it begins to formalize, and those who are gifted begin to rise up, and those who are less gifted begin to defer. And I think it's a perfect storm of all of us have a flesh ego. Well, you want to do it? Okay, I'll watch. And so that part of us goes, you're better at this, you do it. But it also appeals to the arrogance of the gifted or talented person that says, oh, yeah, I'm going to hold the microphone now. I'm going to be directing things. I'm going to be the one that defines all of these things. And we lose the voice of that very diverse body of Christ, Spirit-filled body of Christ. And so this isn't historically. And then it moves to the last section is institutionalization, where movement begins to die. It begins to stagnate. It's just like it's all about maintaining the institution. So that's the basic curve. But what I want to call us to is this. You'll notice in that last one, there's no P. There's no priesthood. That almost entirely goes away. And if you think we're weird or we're stubborn, you've been with us a while, I want to be stubborn to hold on to make sure we call people to express that priesthood. And it will feel different. And it will cause people to go, oh, I just wanted to watch the show. Well, there's not that great a show here. Just a bunch of people trying to follow Jesus together. Good. I mean, if we really wanted to produce a show, we could probably produce a better one. It's not the target. The target is, are we creating a place for us to be the people of God together? And just by the reminder here, this is not a made up thing. This is not a preference. This isn't the theology of the week. This is rooted in New Testament structure. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's what Peter calls the people of God. The robes and the crowns and the standing and the special magic powers is no longer in place. There's a new covenant. I just want to highlight those. This is what I want you to see. You are this. This is you're qualified and you're called. You are this. You are a royal priesthood and a people of his own possession. Now, whether you choose to do it or not, that's a different question. But you don't need something else. You don't need another anointing. You don't need some special power or a degree or anything else. The apostles were ordinary men who had been with Jesus. Now, can those things be helpful? Sure. But you don't need them. You just need a heart that says, Jesus, you shaped me and I want to be a priest. Okay? So what is the priesthood? And we're going to look at a few ways that the priesthood is expressed. And then we're going to practice one form of that. Okay? That's where we're going. Okay? As we exist in community, so the priesthood is, we don't stop being the family of God known as Beggar's Gate, and we do not exist, stop being in community when we leave here today. We exist in this interdependent relational state whether we're together on a Sunday gathering or some other expression, or we're not, we're kind of called to be this people for this season. It's not permanent. It's not like marriage. People come and go, but it is a call of God to be something. We exist in community, and this is where we're called to love and serve. This is where we're called to be that interdependent people, using our gifts to bless one another, to practice oneness, to learn enough about what is encouraging to each other, how we express faith, to come alongside, to bring strength, to tend relational needs. Some of these phrases are not familiar to you. They're all on our websites. We have this paradigm, this central to who we are, that we are called to express the very image of God in oneness. That's our vector. We do it imperfectly, but that's our vector. Okay, so practicing that oneness, making a commitment to go, I am going to care for you. No matter what's going on, we're going to create that environment. And then in our prayer and support, that priestly duty of intercession, where we're going to pray for each other. Pray good onto and pray evil away from. That's part of our priestly duty in community. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about those today, but it's there, and I don't want you to lose sight of that. When you leave here, you have a priestly duty towards one another. And there's multitude of one another verses in the scripture. Okay? The activity of the priesthood as we go. And this is not a comprehensive list. But these are some ideas. These are big ideas. What does it mean to be a priest? Well, walk as ambassadors. We are aliens and strangers. We don't belong here. It feels bad because it's not our home. It's not intended to be our home, as it currently is constructed. We long for something else because this is not what we were designed for originally. And as we have received the Spirit of God and this new identity, it feels clunky and ugly. And there's just so many things. As we mature and we form that, hold on to that identity, we go, I don't like this. I am here as a servant to do something, and that is to represent my native nation, which is the kingdom of God. That's my new identity. I'm the ambassador. Do you know about the wonderful things about the kingdom of God? That's what ambassadors do. We told you this story. We had the ambassador of Malaysia stay with us when we were living in Iowa City. I mean, he was just really clear what his job was. Brag about Malaysia and invite people to come explore it. Now, that was his job. That's our job as ambassadors. And then to preach this good news, we have a wonderful message. We have the message that every person on the planet has either heard and believed or heard and needs to believe. It's the only two standings of people. They've already believed it or they need to believe it. There is no other. There is not another option. Here's the one that gets a little sticky when we're talking about letting Jesus form us, is that we need to learn down our lay down our lives that others may live. The prompting of what it means to be priests is that we live in such a way that our ministry leads to the benefit of others, not ourselves. We don't grant indulgences to enrich ourselves as priests. We lay down our lives that others may live. That's what priests do. And there's a clear identity. Again, that's not the main point today, but I want us to hang on to. There's more than one thing priests do. What we're going to look at today and practice today is, and as we gather, we're all priests, so what does that look like? Everybody just takes turns sharing a different message? You know, I mean, what does that look like? There has to be some order, right? But are we all dialed into the head? Are we all being shaped by the potter? Are we all in this posture of living lives of service and care? And so there's expressions of, as we gather, I don't want you to miss this. Worshiping, singing, expressing faith and thanksgiving are not optional if you're a priest. They don't depend on the quality of your singing voice. They depend on a heart that says, I will worship and I will give thanks and I will do it in community. There's something valuable to the body of Christ as we do that in community. The studies are pretty crazy how important it is. In fact, not even in a sacred environment, not even singing hymns, one of the therapies for PTSD is to have them join in a singing group, to share singing somehow. It's beneficial to their healing to express song together in community. There's something the way God made us to express certain things in community. Thanksgiving and worship are two of those. We can go into the brain science of that. I'll spare you with that. But it's important. It's not optional. It's your priestly duty. And so that builds those bonds of relationship. The other thing we're called to do over and over again in Scripture is to remind each other of certain things and to encourage each other. Okay? So when we gather, it's not, again, hopefully you pull things away. I do. Every week I'm encouraged by whoever's leading and whatever songs are sung, I receive blessing and good. I receive it. But I don't come to receive. I'm happy to receive your encouragement, anything you want to give me. I'm happy to receive that. But I don't come with my hands open, what do you got for me today? That's not the posture of a priest. You are blessed in the giving. It is more, and that's what Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, so remind and encourage. So what are we supposed to remind each other of? This is why I want to do that in communion. Look each other in the eye. I am ministering to you. I'm not, in worship, we're maybe ministering to God. We're expressing thanksgiving to Him. But in this reminding and encouraging, we're speaking to each other. And we can sing songs that encourage and remind each other. It's not, all forms of music don't have to be pointed at God. We can, in fact, some of them are just crazy songs that the Song of Moses is not really a worship song. It's about killing people and chariots. I mean, it's just like, what are we singing? It was a way to remember what God had done, to remind each other. And some psalms, some are lament. They're not at all worshipful. They start with grumbling, God-directed grumbling, which is allowable and beneficial. But when we remind and encourage, this is towards each other. Again, this is not optional. This is clear. This is our priestly duty. So what do we remind people of? Well, the first thing is truth. And the second is the deeds of God. Okay? Those are two big camps. Is that all we remind each other? No, but those are, if we do that well, we're gonna build lots of health and life and faith into one another, okay? What then, brothers? When you come together, each one is a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up. So what are we doing? Why are we doing it? Why are we bringing that truth? Why are we saying this is the body of Christ, which was broken for you? Is that we want to build up one another. Not to be entertained, not to receive, but to build up, to use our priestly power and authority to bring good into the lives of the body. And so it's for the building up. So today we're going to practice this a little bit together. We're going to remind and encourage, and the truth, and this is the idea, is this: I don't want you to be unaware. When we're reminding each other of the truth, it's saying, you may forget this. In fact, when the scriptures say that, I'm reminding you, you can pretty much guarantee it's something we're likely to forget. God's pretty smart. When he instructs men or young men about certain things, you can pretty much guess that young men are not very sensitive. Right? I mean, there's a problem here. When he says this, it means you're likely to forget these things or lose track of these things or lose focus on these things. I do not want you to be bare. And his deeds is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us. What has he done that has expressed this personal God whose goodness and power and intention is to bring things into our life that are beneficial toward us? And remind each other. And to remind each other of those things, because why would we need reminding? Because we are prone to forget. We're not forgetful people. We are, as a people, forgetful. We just lose track of those things. Whatever's right in front of us seems bigger. So encouragement is so significant. I just had a few quotes from secular sources. Our chief want is someone who will inspire us to be what we know we could be. To keep going, we need encouragement. We need reminding. Treat a man as he is, and he will remain as he is. Treat a man as he can and should be, and he will become as he can and should be. We need encouragement, speaking nobility over us and into us. We need it. Encouragement is like water to the soul. It makes everything grow. One of the most important things you can do on earth is to let people know they are not alone. Okay, command, very common. Many of you would be familiar with this. Hebrews 10, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting meeting together, the gathering. So it's not the only time we would encourage one another, but as we gather, there's this element of wanting to bring encouragement to each other, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the command, this is the directive. Say, don't stop meeting together. I don't care how good the Zoom meeting is. I don't care how worshipful you feel in the mountains. You must gather as the people of God. And when you do gather, encourage one another. It does not say, sit down and hopefully some happy sauce will land on you from whoever's ministering from the front, or some joy sauce or something. No, you bring that encouragement. You form that habit. And again, this understanding, I don't mean to harp, but there's an attitude of, I need to self-actualize my own spirituality. I need to find my little campfire Jesus or my own little expression of what ministers to me, rather than the sense of I belong to a people, and those people have warts, and they have challenges, and there will be conflict. And I'm still committed to those people. And there's a better guy over there that does this or that. But I'm committed to this, and to see others. It's a really subtle verse. You may never have noticed it. Look at what is before your eyes. Look who is before their eyes. Well, we find out. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, so if you're confident that you belong to Christ, and Christ is yours, and you have this intimate relationship, I can almost, it's not snark, but I could totally read snark into this. Let's just not forget, just as you are in Christ, so am I. There's this call to elevate other people, not just yourself. Oh, so you're really clear, you're Christ? Well, so is everyone around you. So why don't you minister with that in mind? Be convinced of that. Therefore, encourage one another, build one another, just as you were doing. This strong call, we need it. Encourage one another. Here's this great verse. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Do you know what the rest of the verse says? I made it pretty small, but it's there. If you have really good eyes. Some of the young ones, maybe. Huh?
That's why you should sit
up front. Here's the rest of it. What are we supposed to encourage each other? Then we who are alive or left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And so what I'd love for us to grab here, we're going to read one long section of scripture. Hopefully you won't get lost in it. But it is so important that we understand the big picture. It's not just God loves you. And those are wonderful songs we're singing, but it's not just that God is your everything. There's a story. And if you don't understand that story and where it's going, and you're called to suffer, and there will be hardship, and there's an enemy, and there's resistance, and then it is all ending, you can build this earthly kingdom, and it'll be gone like poof, unless it's built exactly in the manner that God intended for you, and it'll still go poof, but it'll count. So if it's going to go poof anyway, at least make it count. Make sure it counts to your provision in the new age, okay? So we're going to look at the truth. This is a long passage, but it's important because this is what was on Peter's heart. He could have told the church anything in this letter. And they were suffering. The First Peter is written, Second Peter, First and Second Peter both have lots of answers or responses to the suffering that was going on. And I don't know if you can relate to that or not. But there's things happening in the story of God that are supposed to encourage us. Now they may not go, oh, it's still going. But it goes, oh, yeah. Stay steady. Keep going. Keep moving. There is an outcome here that's significant, right? His divine power has granted us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, that's a promise. Keep that in mind. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. We get those promises by knowing him. Not by knowing about him, but by knowing him. By which he granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire. There's a lot of stuff here that's, remember, oh yeah, 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 I do have a flesh that wants to oppose God. Oh yeah, 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 that encouragement. Oh yeah, no wonder it's hard to do something new or holy. Because that's the spiritual reality. Oh, and the goal here is not to create my own life and happiness and wealth and material, all of that. It's to participate in his divine nature, which is a suffering servant. Oh, yeah. That gives me encouragement to keep going. Okay, this was the long passage, sorry. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. Both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remind yourself, the predictions of the holy prophets and commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. So there's all this prophecy about what the end is going to look like and what's going to happen. That gives you focus, it gives you balance, it gives you understanding so you can endure. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Where is the promise of this coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were before the beginning of creation. So that's the voice. He's not coming. He's not going to get fit. I can't wake him up. All those human things. Maybe you don't think them. I do. Not necessarily about the macro of Jesus coming, but about my life. Can I hold on for the fulfillment of his promise, for his activity? Can I hold on? Or I throw in the towels and go find another way. Find another distraction. Find another new game on my phone. Whatever it might be. Or can we hold on? For they deliberately overlooked this fact. The heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. So there's this comparison contrast here. It says God used water, he created the world through it, and he destroyed the world through it. Okay, that's the big idea. Okay, water's good, but it's still subject to God. Whatever you think you can get that's going to be good, God will use it for his own purposes. And he says the same thing about fire. By the same words, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Oh, they're not going to get away with it. No one is going to get away. Injustice will not reign. That gives us hope. That reminds us, oh yeah, nobody's getting away with anything, including us, because Jesus paid for our sins. We're not getting off scot-free because we're his favorites. We're getting off with a blessing because we belong to Christ and our life is hidden with him. Do not overlook this one fact, beloved. With the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Just want to hold on to that. There's this perspective that we have to hang on to. Okay. So, this is we're going to practice this. I'd love for you to call to mind. And sometimes it is, God really, really loves you, and that's encouraging. But sometimes we need perspective. Sometimes we need to be reminded that this is not our home. That God is sovereign. That we are called to live a certain kind of life that others may live. So how would you remind or encourage the body? Maybe again, you have an insight that the Lord has given you personally. Maybe you just read something and go, wow, this is important for the people of God. Here's a few reasons, a few kinds of potential people who might need encouragement or reminding. The tired, the fearful, the discouraged, the hopeless, the confused, the grieving, the apathetic. Oops. Okay. So, again, those of you who are at DTC, if there is something you want to communicate, and this one right now is the truth. We're going to come back and do the deeds, something God did for you or demonstrated he did in the past or something in your own life. But I just love for you to call to mind, what would you speak over the body of Christ to encourage them generally? Not, if you think you have a prophetic utterance, run it by Nathan and I. We'll work together to bring that into the light. Otherwise, we would want to share scripture, okay? We think God can use prophecy for sure, and we can certainly speak things from the Lord, but we don't want that to just go random without shepherding that, which I think is the command in 1 Corinthians 14. So if you have something to speak to the church, to people in the church, to culture, and say, I want to remind you of these truths. What's precious to you? You're a priest. So imagine, I'm not here. People that normally speak aren't here in these situations. Will you step into that harness, that role of being a priest, and speak encouragement of what is true? Okay? Go.
I can go on.
Yes.
So I've been meditating on, if I do it right, John 11, 35, we all know that, Jesus wept. And then 36, so the Jews said, see how he loved him. And that it's not just about Lazarus, it's about people. So I just want to remind you guys that Jesus sees what's going on in your life, and he's emotionally engaged. Whether that's weeping or shouting praises over you, he's there.
Thanks, Steve. Each one stands up, or you don't have to stand up, it's probably easier to hear if you turn and look towards people. But receive that from Molly, from David, as this is the priest of God ministering to you. This is important stuff. Have that posture. Don't let it bounce off because you're calloused.
May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we be one in attitude and mind, glorifying the Lord.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. One, he gives us eternal life. Number two, the promise that nothing can snatch us out of his hand. That gives us hope.
I finished reading Psalms recently, and towards the end of the book, there's a verse that says that God made every star and he gave them each a name. How important am I compared to those stars?
Truth from DTC, anybody wants to communicate? Stuff you're reminded of, you want to remind the church?
One of the pastors shared about how life is like a coin, and you can only spend your life once. So I think, and we also did a service project for this girl who had cancer, but she was only supposed to live 3 months, but she ended up living way longer, and she's still alive. And so I think it's like encouraging, because we can live like God and show other people God's love.
Good. Let's go to deeds here. Just this reminder. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Again, this directive. That if you see God's deeds, if you see good things happening, to say it, to speak it. So whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in deserts, wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached the city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, the hungry soul, and fills with good things. Okay, so what, again, you can, doesn't necessarily need to apply to these, but just stimulate your thinking. What deeds of the Lord will you proclaim today? What has he done in your life? How has he protected you, encouraged you, showed you his kindness, provided for you, comforted you? Any of those things that you would want to say, hey, these are the deeds of the Lord in my life. How would you communicate that so the church can be encouraged and find hope? And that may be something you learned, something you understood about God. So just put that kind of, if you have more truth, you share from DTC. You can go back to the truth one as well, but I just wanted to throw this out there. Remember, these are both important. What's true, what has God done, and what is he like? Who is he and what has he done? Those two elements of our relationship. Yeah, it's great understanding. But great book if you've never read it. What if Jesus had never been born? Just blow your mind how people assume, oh, this, we're just good humans. No, we're not.
I can share the story. It's a little bit longer, but very encouraging for me. A couple weeks ago, there was a young man that came to our gathering, kind of sat in the back, and it was somebody that Holden, the Simmersons family, they had met at the skate park. And after I had shared that morning, he came up, we chatted for a little bit, got his phone number. We got together on Wednesday morning before we left for DTC. I said, would you like to open up the Word? Would you like to just study the Word together, dive into what God said? He said, sure. And so we opened up to the book of Acts, and we just started reading through Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2. As we're reading, we're just discussing, what does this passage say about God? What does it say about man? What are we called to do in this? And just kind of a discovery study together. So we got to Acts chapter 2, and Peter's message, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And he goes, I've actually been thinking a lot about baptism, and I think I want to be baptized. And I was like, oh, cool. Well, like, let's talk about when we could do that. He's like, I want to do this right now. And I was like, okay. I was not prepared to think about that. And so we talked and just kind of wanted to fill out kind of where he was at with all of that. But he was very earnest and understood salvation. He understood that he was a child of God. He understood that he had not been baptized. And he understood that that was a huge part of just associating with Jesus and walking in obedience to him. And so a couple hours before we left for DTC, we went to Lake Loveland, and I got to baptize Anthony. And he's taking a two-week retreat right now for some health things that he's working through, but just really blessed by his faith, by his eagerness to obey, and that he just kind of read scripture and just said, I haven't been baptized. I need to get baptized. Let's go get baptized. And that was his heart. So just blessed by God's working in his life.
DTC, we did an outreach thing where we cleaned up trash and stuff in Laramie. And it was about to rain, but it didn't start hailing until we were right in front of the rec center. So,
good way to get hailed up.
Exactly. Good. So it was really cool how God helped.
Were you praying for that? You were praying to be hailed on or not? I feel like the time with Tallahassee was just dozens and dozens of miraculous deeds of the Lord, from just building friendship to refining vision in people's marriages to the sessions of transformational prayer. Where it's such a, I feel very privileged to sit in this sacred place with people as they experience connection with God, they bear their heart, they experience His comfort, they experience His transformation, truth. He leads them to repentance. Just this amazing picture of God's activity in ways that it's, I don't know what you guys do where that all comes together that often, but it sure just never fails to show up and do what He promises to do, is to bring that transformation and care for people. So I just felt privileged. I don't know how many sessions sat in or how many potential lives or whatever, but It was a lot, just time after time after time. God just doesn't, never gets tired of showing up, never gets tired of speaking, and He fulfills His promises. And that power is available to all of us for that transformation.
I'll share that fits in with this one. So the whole weekend was about apologetics, and there was just so many different talks about being able to defend your faith. One of the major talks was about prophecy, and talking about how God had these, these things were proclaimed, and then He fulfilled them. And I just think, how good of God that He didn't just throw out these things and say, yeah, you just got to believe it. He's like, no, I said this, and here it came true. I said this, and here it came true. So that we can trust Him in the end, and that just feels so encouraging, and His kindness is He doesn't just leave us blind.
So kind of a blanket, always fulfillments of prophecy throughout history.
Not to make it long, but it's a little personal, and my family was blessed this weekend. Just when Janine said that, I just wanted to make known that, of course we have a bigger family, and Janine is a very big part of trying to make the family of God as big as possible. But So we got a text from Drew. I was down with Parker watching their five little kids so that Bobby could be with them, the older, with Drew and the older kids, and Lori was up there with Autumn. So, you know, there's another theme about, or another idea. The first, the truth part, or the scripture part, what God, you know, Jesus himself said, one of, you know, his most important parables, I think, is that unless, you know, a seed goes in the ground and dies, you know, you don't have anything. You don't have anything. So anyway, I don't know, I'm all like this, but anyway, I had a great time, you know, keeping three boys below five, you know, alive, out of the pool, without their wings and all this. But, you know, I'm not saying this, you know, because of anything I did. God, you know, reminds me. I don't know if everything is up there, but basically, protection from yourself. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that we were gone for a month and I was just loving it. Spent 2 weeks in the Redwoods and California coast up north. And I mean, yeah, I love it there. And I'm wondering if God actually, or Pat isn't actually being used sometimes by God when he says, you know, I don't care how much you, you know, like it in the mountains, you gotta come back. I think it's for me, and he says that every month or two. But anyway, the...
Just want to remind you.
What time is it? Yeah, the fruit of us just doing our part and yes, sacrificing. So anyway, as far as a new believer, my 14-year-old grandson accepted Christ up there. And it's just such a, it's a big deal because, you know, 14-year-old boys, you know, they either go one way or the other. It's a very crucial time. But that's what all of us are part of, the whole family. And to remember that it is actually the younger people that usually are more receptive. So as you're just thinking of your life, and I'm still looking to see what God, you know, wants for me to do this phase of my life, and I'm glad he gives me these opportunities that are right in front of me. Well, maybe I need to spend a couple weeks in the nursery. I can help. You know, I went to DTCs for 30 years because of my kids, but now it's my, you know, we can support it, and God will bring those to me.
Amen. That's cool. Thank you for walking in that. In that, this reminds us again of this verse: is that there is a role we have to stir up each other's faith in our priesthood. You are qualified. You are a priest, and to think about those roles, especially as we gather, that we come with that understanding that people need to hear your story. People here need to hear your testimony. What God is doing in your life is part of what encourages and builds that bond. So let me pray, your Lord, we are grateful that you are calling us together to be a people. And Lord, you may still move people around and around the world, wherever you want to take us. We don't belong to a church or a denomination, we belong to you. But we do want to take seriously your call to devote ourselves to one another whenever we're in that and have that opportunity. And thank you, you are growing us into a people for your own possession. In Jesus' name, amen.